The harbor bridge crossed over the port of Corpus Christi. It was a high steel arch, tall enough to grant barges and freighters access to the ship channel, and stood where the old drawbridge once did. The city had hosted a contest to name the bridge, and the winner, a housewife who lived out by the oil refineries, was given the honor of riding in the first car to drive across. That was in 1959. She wore a pillbox hat and white satin gloves. She posed for pictures with the mayor. Years later, when she died, her family walked to the top of the bridge and scattered her ashes over the lilting water. The structure was long and mellow, like a downturned crescent blade. A lattice of girders rose above the bridge's suspended deck, and the crisscrossing beams threw complex shadows on the lanes. After decades of sustained wind and salt from the bay, the joints were starting to erode and loosen. Rust flaked the girders. Each year, if the city could scrape together the money during the holidays, the bridge was strung with Christmas lights. An image of its illuminated reflection on the water had long commanded the cover of the Corpus phone book. A handful of couples had been married at the top. Delinquent teenagers stole bowling balls to roll down the lanes or lob off the side. And a small group of citizens met on the first weekend of every month to walk the mile that the structure spanned. The walkers started on the south side and crossed over to North Beach on the railed walkway that edged the bridge. At the foot of the walkway hung an engraved sign from the Coastal Bend Church of Christ. "Feeling desperate? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Romans 10:13. So on the first weekend of September, it was the group of walkers who saw the body in the bay before anyone else. They didn't immediately comprehend the sight. The water was ragged and dirty from the previous week's storm, and the body floated face down. It looked like a person snorkeling, except an arm and leg were bent at odd, harsh angles. One of the walkers retched and kneeled on the walkway. Another started praying. Another dug in her pocket for her phone. The rest of the group stared and speculated and tried to trick themselves into thinking the person might have survived the fall. No one could tell if it was a male or female or how old, and none of them thought of Justin Campbell, the boy who'd gone missing years before. They knew only that the broken-up body was part of them now, that the memory would insinuate itself for the rest of their lives. Two Coast Guard cutters were soon speeding toward the ship channel, and police cruisers were parking on both sides of the port. A few of the walkers stood at the top of the bridge to watch, but most descended without a word. They walked single file, knowing they wouldn't return to the bridge, and held on to the rail as tightly as possible.